Welcome to the In The Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40K goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live!
We are indeed live. How you doing, my man? You okay?
I'm great, mate. How are you?
I'm doing good, mate. Yeah, no.
Good.
Feeling it. We're going into autumn now. Like, the death of the summer is happening at the rate of knots.
Honestly, I walked out this morning and I was like, it feels like winter already.
Yeah.
It's mad. We barely had a summer.
In my moodiness, I quite like that. I love autumn. Autumn's
Autumn's actually my favourite season. So.
Oh, see, there we go then. What are you complaining about?
Exactly.
How's your week in the hobby been, mate? You get up to anything interesting?
So I have done some bits and bobs. So last week I was all like, oh, Gene Studicos, I can't wait to play them at LGT. And then life was like, I've entered the chat, and then I was like, okay, I'm not going to get enough hobby time to get the GSC to a passable standard, because I thought about it and I could probably get them all to that three color minimum. But the issue is that I'm then going to have to probably coat them all with some like ard coat or something like that to stop me knocking all the paint off during the thing. Otherwise, they're all going to be back to square one. So I thought, sack it off. Yeah, exactly. We've got our 750 points in November for that tournament, so I'm going to keep on for that. That's the plan. And then what I'm actually going to be doing is something that I've been wanting to do for a long old time, finally pulling the fucking Band-Aid off, building two Necron Doomsday Arcs.
Because
I've had them probably since I was about seven, and now it's finally time for me to build and paint the bastards, because I'm going to bring Awakened Dynasty Necrons, which is the real, like, it's like the detachment that the index detachment. It's that one,
okay,
but they just slightly nerfed it. So I'm just going to run really tanky Necrons with backed up by a couple of Doomsday Arcs, and I've got some fun little tricks up my sleeve that I'm going to try out. So that's the plan.
I was going to say, is that like the resurrection detachment? Yeah, where you basically
that is the resurrection detachment. Yeah.
See, that's to me, that's classic Necrons, mate.
It is. It's good old honest Necrons.
Necrons El Casical. So yeah, sounds good for me. Sounds good.
So that's what we've been up to. What about yourself,
mate? I'm now properly cracking on with my assault jump pack intercessors. They are looking banging. I decided to go for a 90s hazard stripe on the old chainswords because
gotta be done. And got the old graphite out for that, I imagine.
I did. See, there you go. Yeah. See, that's a callback.
I remember.
I did, actually. And I'm loving the scheme now, and I'm actually falling in love with them. And I'm like, they are looking cool now. I mean, I sent you some pictures. What do you think of them?
They look amazing. Yeah,
Thank you.
Incredible. Right, they've got so much cool stuff going on those models with all the red and the hazard stripes and the, you know, obviously the split scheme, which I'm really a big fan of. So it's going to be really cool when they're finished.
And I also snuck painting my Smash Captain Galliard, which is a reference to Attack on Titan, if anyone's seen that, because there's a character in that called Galliard. Have you seen Attack on Titan?
No, I haven't, no.
You weeb. I love that show. It's amazing. You've not seen it at all?
No, I know of it, but I haven't seen it. No, it's supposed to be very good.
But he's looking cool. I went for like an old school heresy scheme for him. So he's like black with patches of white and red, and he looks really cool next to them. So I'm really awesome with that. And I went for a Forge World helmet on him. I went for like a Inner Circle companion.
With the wings, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. So he looks cool as shit. And he's amazing in Gladius. So I was like, why are people running a Smash Captain these days? That's a bit old school. But I realized that if you take him with, I think it's called the Honor Vermin, the enhancement from Gladius. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm eating some humble pie and I might actually be playing the Ultramarines fucking detachment.
Sorry, you're drinking that Gladius Kool-Aid, are you, finally?
Oh, yeah, tasty. he's amazing. He then has, on the charge and in Assault Doctrine, he has 7, strength 11, damage 2 power fist attacks.
Goodness.
That's mental, isn't it?
That's a fisting if I've ever seen one, that is.
I'd imagine him harassing like groups of medium infantry on objectives and stuff.
He could be harassing baby knights, that guy. So, you know, he's a big boy.
There we go. Galliard could be doing bits for me, doing bits.
You see, I've got a fun little combo in my new army, which I'm not sure, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do yet, but I'm really keen. So there is a enhancement for these guys that that's basically a 4-up feel no pain for like a lord. Most people chuck it on a Scorpec lord because they're really tanky, like T7, 7 wounds. But I was thinking, I'm going to go a different direction with mine. I've thrown it on a classic, one of the classic lords with the tachyon arrow and war scythe, right? Now, the reason why, exactly. You got that one shot
that
per game.
That thing's mad.
Right?
That thing's it's mental. Mad. Does it work the same way? Is it still like a one shot per game mega melter?
It's still a one. Yeah, exactly. So basically, what I'm thinking is I've stuck him with a Chronomancer 5-man Tesla Mortal squad, right? And they're just going to sort of sit at the back doing not much. They've got Veil of Darkness, right? So you can do is you wait for some idiot, you know, to put like a Dreadnought or something on a point in the middle, and then you just pop them out, you shoot the tachyon, it hits on a 2, even through stealth, right? And then if it misses, you got a free reroll because he's an overlord. Perfect. Shoots it, hits the guy. Now you think, oh, it's only wounding probably on like a 3, but you've got full rerolls to wound because he's with immortals. So now you're rerolling the wounds. So it's probably going to go through. It's like AP 5, which is mega. You can get it to 6 if you really want, which is mad. And then it's D6 plus 2 damage. So if you haven't had to use that reroll on the hit, you can just reroll the damage for free. So you're looking at getting like a pretty tasty roll out of that one. And then the Chronomancer lets them just pop back to safety. So it's mega.
That's pretty cool. Is that an enhancement, that one shot?
Yeah. That's just, he has that base, right? The enhancement comes that he is T6 with 6 wounds and a 2-up save and a 4-up feel no pain, and he's -1 damage. So that guy is never going to die. And if you kill him, he gets back up. So good luck with that one. So you can just teleport him across the board and then charge in. And if you make the charge, good luck never getting that guy off your home objective ever. So
I always forget that like Necron are kind of the Xenos equivalent of Death Guard. And you're those fuckers are so hard. They're so hard.
Yeah, I'm well keen for that combo. I'm gonna try it, and I bet you any money, in all 5 games at LGT, he's not gonna get a single one of those fucking tachyon arrows through now.
I swear that used to be like a relic back in 8th or 9th edition, because
it was always a loadout option that you could take on him, I think. Cool.
It's the same sort of vibe as what happens when you fire hunter killer missiles.
Yes, it's hunter killer missiles.
You always spoon it, and you're like,
you miss like 99% of them, or they hit an invuln or whatever it is. But that one that you get through,
to wound. True.
That'll do like 6 damage or something. So, I just want to blow a hole in something like once per game and just be like, no.
You just want that cool moment, that hobby moment where you're like, there we go, that was it. That was what I
wanted. All worthwhile.
Firing a crazy Xenos arrow at something. Sounds good.
I can't wait. Awesome.
So, hobby news. Very quickly. Nothing crazy to report on this week, really. There's obviously some reveals coming this week, like kind of dripping.
Well, already had the roadmap last night, didn't we, from that event? But it was like the crappiest roadmap I've ever seen in my life. It was like, so Blood Angels are coming later this year, and we'll reveal a couple of the codexes for next year. And loads to be excited about, guys.
Apparently, thank you. Yeah. I love that voice. I love that James Workshop voice that you're putting up there. Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Same with the Horus Heresy, to be fair. The Horus Heresy got pretty much a thing where it was like, and next year, tanks. And it's like, oh, cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And next year, more Horus Heresy.
go figure. I mean, just very quickly, I would love a plastic Mastodon. don't mate, if they do that, I'm like, god, shut up and take my money times 1,000. And I would love I think they should do this because they've made the Sicarian a plastic kit, so I don't know why they haven't done this already, which is the Sicarian Omega, which is the big plasma variant of the Sicarian. I'd love a couple of those for like doing a fun Iron Wing kind of army for Horus Heresy. That
I hope that they do. You know, there's like one of the big resin knights. It's a ridiculously expensive model at the moment.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
I can't remember which one. It's like the Atropos or something like that. It's like anti-Titanic one. Yeah. But it's the only one of the only ones that doesn't have a plastic kit. I'd love for that to get a plastic kit.
Yeah, because they've been cycling those out, haven't they? It feels, again, like, and this is a subject that we will bring up in the future, that Ford's world is kind of getting slowly rotated out of the old...
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Games Workshop / Warhammer brand, really. And like things are kind of moving because less and less of those classic resin kits are available now, where they're now either plastic or they're just not available. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, there you go. See, there you go. Of course, there's been some Lord of the Rings miniatures previewed for the old War of Rohirrim tie-in thing.
Yeah,
are you
going to
see it? Because it looks cool. Like Rohan's the coolest.
I actually have some old little goblins and a cave troll from my original Warhammer days that I painted up. So I'm tempted by Lord of the Rings. I've heard that it's a really good system from loads of people who play it, and that you don't need many models and all that sort of stuff. So maybe if they do like a big load of releases for it, I might delve into it and give it a little go at some point.
It's almost like the best skirmish game that they make. Oh!
Well, the problem is that we've had people in our Discord asking for a dedicated Lord of the Rings channel for ages. And if I start playing it, then they'll be like, well, you really got to make one now. And I've just been resisting thus far. So, because fuck them. Frankly,
don't start that. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Don't start that thing. You're spread thin as it is, lad.
Tell me about it.
And that's cool. And I received my limited edition copy of Demon Breaker. That looks great. And of course, my Celestian Lady, bless her, the limited edition Black Ivy miniature. Well cool. Which
have you built it yet?
No, I haven't yet. I will be discussing her at great length in a future very ranty episode where I'm 99% in GW's camp, and I appreciate all of what they do from a business perspective, but there are a few things that really twist my nuts, and the subject.
I thought you liked that.
Sometimes, only at weekends, not in the general
on a Thursday night
basis. Maybe if I'm feeling greedy. There we go. But cool. Right. Before we even begin, comment, subscribe, give us some feedback. Look at this.
12 minutes in. Amazing.
I know. There you go. I think this is the right time to
do it.
That's
a new record.
I know, right? Absolutely. Please give us some community support. To be fair, there's been some amazing people that have shared us on Instagram and stuff. You know who you are.
They have, yeah.
Thank you very much. You guys are the coolest.
Top lads.
But any people that can help other community members know that we exist and get out there, thank you. Honestly, we're slowly getting there. It's awesome. We genuinely appreciate all of your support, and it makes it all worthwhile. So thank you very much. But at least you can do is bloody subscribe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair, we're actually doing okay. I think 60% of our listeners are already subscribed, which isn't bad.
Oh, great. That's great.
So, yeah, just press that subscribe button, guys. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Cost you nothing.
We're here every week. It's all cool. We are. Shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay. So, oh my God. Okay, are you ready to get... So we're going to crack
on with the
first topic.
I don't know if I
want
to talk about this.
Oh, I do, because it's been on my mind for a long time.
I feel like I'm going to get cancelled somehow.
So this is where we might be the most antagonistic we've ever been on chat. So I am going to give a disclaimer here before we even begin, right? Because I need to. Hopefully you've made it to this point in the video already without downvoting or leaving some rude comment below, and that's all well and good. I really hope you have, because if not, fuck you. The opinions discussed here are purely opinions.
Yes.
We might even have a very balanced approach to this where, it feels like this subject is being catalysted by the quote unquote culture war of the modern era, right? Where people on the left quote unquote believe one kind of concept about this and people on the right believe another concept about this. Just as a personal disclaimer, I'm quite centralist with my politics. I'm slightly to the left, but I'm not extreme in my politics at all. And I just think that people should just not be a dick, quite frankly. That's where I stand on this issue, right? Do you want to disclaim anything before we begin?
I don't know what I'm going to say. I'll probably put my foot in my mouth at some point. So if I do, I apologize and I'll try and take it out.
Honest.
Yeah.
be honest. I like to think that we'll be as neutral.
We're
as
honesty first on this podcast. I mean, that's one of our core tenets, as it were. So, yeah.
So with that said, let's be adults and have an adult conversation. If you disagree with us, it's fine.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe I'm even saying this about a toy soldiers game. Like, fuck my life. Okay, here we go. I even hate using this tagline because the term just makes my ass like cringe, right? Oh,
yeah.
Female Space Marines.
Oh.
Right.
Bit of that Space Marine pussy.
They're grown. They're grown. There you go, see.
Oh, God almighty.
Right. Okay, let's do this. We're buckled up, we're ready to go. Come on, then, let's do this. Let's tackle all the big issues. This had to come up. Because
it did.
It's one of these issues that is so unbelievably divisive in this hobby that makes people immediately go one of two ways without having like proper discussions about this and really considering both sides to the thing. Because I'm open-minded when it comes to this.
Yeah.
Just to quote my sources, I love a YouTube channel called Arbiter Ian. He's great. He did an amazing video on this. So hello, Ian, you're incredible. Love your videos, your Horus Heresy videos in particular. A star. But you did a great video on this, and I'm probably going to be quoting you quite a lot during this video, so I hope you don't mind. What is your gut reaction to it? And then I will dismantle everything that you hold dear. Like,
jeez. All right, okay.
No, seriously, I mean, like, come on, man. Like, I have to come at this from two angles, right? Yeah.
I have to come at this from the angle of I understand why some people want them, and the other angle is I coming at it from a lore perspective, right? So I don't think, like, this is a game, you know, at the end of the day. It is an expansive universe, so there's a big thing behind it, but at the core of it, it is all a game, right? And it's based around that. I have no issue with people playing different skins for a character in a video game, whether that be, you know, a female or a male version, or, you know, different colored skin version or whatever. Don't care, you know. The more representation, the more inclusivity on that side of things, the better. So there is that angle to approach this from of, you know, if some people want to display their Space Marines as female, then they should be allowed to, right? But then the other side of it that I come at is from my personal perspective, I wouldn't have anything against seeing them in the game whatsoever, but I do feel like there is so much established lore behind there not being any currently, that it's actually probably just easier to sort of carry on as we are and just leave it as it is. But I also understand... Wait, go on.
Yeah. No, go for it.
Now, I also understand the perspective of those that want to see an advancement of the lore and to sort of take it in that different direction. It doesn't break the game for me. I don't think it's going to put anyone off playing. If you come up against someone who's got a female Space Marine army, if they make a range of miniatures... although I don't think they will, because it's just they've already got fucking enough of the bloody things for Space Marines. Then I don't think it would. Yeah, literally
who wants
double the amount.
Seventh Lieutenant. Let's do it.
Inceptors with tits. Yeah. So buy our new upgraded tit sprue. But yeah. So I don't have an issue with it personally.
I'm going to slightly interject here.
Okay.
As you said a second ago, all of the lore reasons for them not to be like female or you know, and when you actually look, apart from the use of pronouns of brother and that is used a lot and it is constantly used all the time, there are very rare instances of actually the lore designating that or Space Marines have to be male. The official in-law reason, and I've got it written down here, is to during the Gene Seed process, and the zygotes are apparently quote-unquote keyed to male chromosomes, right?
Okay.
I have discussed this with my scientific wife, who has three various scientific degrees, and she says that technically all fetuses start with female zygotes anyway. That's why we have nipples, because there's no use for like male nipples really, apart from it feels good.
That's about to say, it's not what I've heard.
Yeah, exactly. and stuff like that, right? Like, and why, you know, the human body reacts like this. So we all, technically, all of us have both zygote. So the law reason doesn't really make that much sense, right?
Sure.
And expanding upon that, I think it is all a question of retconning everything, where we like to like hold this like the law is so like important,
sacred,
like everything's sacred, but the law is kind of all retcon. It's all retcon, like and actually the fact that all, from this point of view of all space marines being male, is technically a rogue trader retcon.
Right.
So this in, of itself is kind of a retcon on rogue trader, in as much as, for all intents and purposes of what they were, although technically it was female in power armor, there were two female miniature sculpts of female space marines, or females within power armor, space marine power armor, that were available by Blanchy in the Rogue era period, right? So technically, saying all Space Marines can only be male is in fact kind of a retcon in of itself, right?
Yeah.
So where I'm at with this is there's only like one White Dwarf appearance where it stipulates that Space Marines can only be male, and maybe in like a handful of codexes over the years, if that. Like I said, apart from pronouns, it's actually quite rare. So my without showing my hand on this issue, I think that it should be a thing. I think the fact that this is even a serious conversation is, in my opinion, a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're like,
if you look at like Stormcast Eternals, they've got both men and women in there, right? And there's no problem there. It doesn't detract from the army. It doesn't. You know, them having a few female sculpts here and there, it's cool.
The thing is, in regards to, like, female sculpts anyway, in regards to Space Marines, is by the time that a man or, you know, a person goes through becoming a Space Marine, the whole point is by the time they get to the end, they're like a super enhanced human being, right? Like, they have very little in common with, like, their original sort of form, right?
Yeah.
I would guess, and they become quite sexless as well, right? In terms of like, you know, it's rumored that they don't even have the ability to form attachments to human beings like they did in a previous life, and even potentially to fuck. Like, you know, the Emperor's children are a different example, but like in general, they're kind of like eunuchs or whatever, right? Like they're kind of like a sexless
bunch of
thing, right? To represent the fact that by the time they become a space marine, they're kind of so beyond human that it doesn't really matter. Like, the idea of intimacy like that is completely irrelevant to them, right? And I would imagine that the same result would be if you did that to someone of you know, female origin. They would just look like a space marine. They would look the same. They would essentially look exactly the same. There'd be no need for, like, even like tit armor in the same way that like Sisters of Battle have, which is all to do with A, that sort of gothy, sort of renaissance-y Catholic look, and B, because you need the sisters to look women at all times because of the stipulation in regard to the law and how the ecclesiarchy worked, right?
I have to interrupt about tit armor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I've seen some scientific stuff on tit armor, and apparently, if you build tit armor into your armor, all it will do is if you get hit in the chest, it'll just break your chest bone here. So,
It's not,
you, women actually would just wear normal breastplates, but that would just be slightly different.
Look at Brienne of Tarth. The great example of this is Brienne of Tarth.
She doesn't have a tit breastplate.
No, she just looks the same. She just looks exactly the same. But I think the reason why the sisters do have it is
because
it's
they
very
want to
clear
look sexy,
that they want to look like, well, yes, but they want to look like women because that is the stipulation of their of the whole ecclesiarchy, that they can't have any an army that consists of males because of like the law reason, right? Although ironically, you know, all law is retconnable, but whatever, but you know, that makes sense, right? But like, yeah, I don't know, man. And all it would require would be like head swaps and like, yeah, you know, and I doubt even then they would look particularly feminine.
If you most of them at, don't. Like, the Stormcast Eternal, like I've always said this about GW's female sculpts, like they're not very good at doing women's faces. I don't know what it is. Like, there's some of them that are okay, but for the most part, you know, there are some. Like, some of the Dark Oath stuff's getting better. Like, I think they're getting better at it, but they've always have like a weird, uncanny valley look to them a lot of the time, and not quite right. So
this comes back to the original point of why, like, and this whole lore, like sacrosanct BS, right?
Yeah,
all comes down to why Space Marines were kind of made to be just male after the Rogue era period, right? Was because two reasons. First reason, those female Space Marine sculpts sold really badly. So, and there were several potential reasons for this. No shade on whoever sculpted them, but the sculpt was a bit shit, and therefore they didn't look great, and they were probably a pain in the ass to paint or whatever, because their faces all looked like they were melting or whatever. Like, bless them. Like, it's all cool. It was early days, man. Like, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Lead and stuff. Like, yeah. And as a result, they didn't sell well. Also, it could have been that bunch of nerdy boys being like, I don't want a girl in Miami, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we're living in a different period now. It was back then. And also because the Space Marine kit, either the Monopose or the early Rogue Trader Space Marine kits, all wanted to be as uniform and all like, you know, just standard as always. Like, you know, we're talking like second.
All their little poses were the same, weren't
they?
Exactly. I remember.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want that universality. So just to make it easy, just go, fuck it. They're all men, just because it makes that easy. Do you know what I mean?
Like, this, we have to say that this is quite a male-dominated hobby, generally speaking.
Still, of course it is.
There are women in the hobby, and more and more, I think, every year, if I'm honest. You know, we seem to be getting more women, which is great. You know, it's cool. I see them popping up all over the place in YouTube channels, you know, at events, that sort of stuff is great. So more power to them. But yeah, it is still, for the most part, like a male-dominated hobby.
One of the most popular painters in GW's history is Suggs, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think she wears that flag quite proudly. And, like, it's great that we have her in the hobby.
No, it is.
Like,
it's great.
The representation there is awesome. But, like, you know, that is changing. But then, you know, a part of the argument is, you know, is that's how kind of inclusion works, right? It's like when you start breaking down those barriers and you see yourself in media, you start going, actually, this could be for me. And one of the arguments, again, that I hear about this is like, you know, well, you have the sisters, right? Like, why do you need, like, female Space Marines? And it's like, okay.
I think that's a crap argument, to be honest.
But when are the sisters ever going to take center stage in a launch box? As soon as that happens, you've got, like, sisters fighting, like, you know, orcs or something in a launch box.
Yeah.
Right? That's when you know that it's... And also, you know, whether you like it or not, like, Space Marines are what moves 40K. Like, it does. Like,
they're like the gateway drug, right? For a lot of people.
Well, apparently, I heard this on the grapevine, that during the death of fantasy the first time around, like, you know, in the end times and stuff, the whole of fantasy's entire IP made less money that financial year than the Tactical Space Marines box. Just the Tactical Space Marines box.
God, right? I can believe it.
Now we're talking, like, serious, like, movement of products, right?
Yeah.
And you want to see yourself potentially represented in that. You know, if I had, you know, a little girl or whatever that was wanted to get into the hobby, or, like, you know, or a friend of mine who was a woman that wanted to play Marines or whatever, and they wanted to see themselves in that faction. It makes sense. Like, it's like, you know, and also lore-wise, from the Imperium's perspective, like, why would you cut half of your, like, why would the Emperor design it so that, you know, the great Emperor with his great designs, right?
Yeah.
That half of your, you know, like, trainees and you know, like,
the population,
aspirants would only be men. That makes no fucking sense, considering that women serve in the guard. You know, like, you know, in all structure levels of imperial society, it's a 50-50 mix. There is no, like, gender inequality, really, in the imperial.
No.
You're all shit. You're all treated like shit. You are all worms in the machine of the imperial.
But it's
right?
cool, because you've got, like, female guard, as you said. You've got female gene-stealer models. You know, there are female representations in some of the factions.
It's just
and we don't know
like
if the Tau have females or not. Because they don't
they
really...
They do.
Yeah,
they
no,
have different
no,
they, heads.
Sorry, do they have female models is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are...
Head sculpt.
And I'm assuming that Necrons are male and female because there are male and female Necrons in the lore, but they just look the same. Because, I mean, everyone looks the same on their, you know, there's their skeletons, right? So, exactly.
Yeah, no, you can tell with Tau because they have different vag heads.
Okay, but...
So Shadow Sun, for example, is a great example, right? She's like one of the most famous like ladies in the Tau army, right? But
yeah,
I think
cool.
it's that last sacred cow thing, and I think the reason is because it's just so divisive, and like no one wants to be that first. And I think they've tested the waters with the Custodes and handled it poorly.
Well, yeah, that was just them. That was on them.
Well, this brings us to the next discussion, right? It's like, okay, say we live in this utopian world where half of the Warhammer community isn't going to, like, table flip that we've brought women into Space Marines, right?
Yeah.
How are we going to do it? How are you going to pitch this to GW to do this? Like, how are we actually going to bring this forward? Like, what do you reckon? I've got a couple of ideas.
I mean, I think you just go down the route of the Stormcast, which is to say, you know, they've been there, but this is the thing. I wouldn't necessarily hit with a huge retcon. What I would probably do is maybe bring it forwards. What I would do is I basically say, Kaul has been in his laboratory and he's realized that, you know, we're wasting half the population and we could be turning women in using the same process. And it doesn't matter about their lack of muscle mass because we can do all of that with our science. So, you know, and we don't need to insert holy globules. We can just, you know, use holy ovaries.
I think you've done it in as much as, right, the most heretical thing that's been done in the galaxy anyway was the invention of the Primaris because you're quote-unquote improving on perfection, right? So why not just be like, well, when Kaul did that, just go, okay, I've sorted it and I've also fixed it so that we can, you know, use both chromosomes.
Look, hear me out for a second.
Sorted.
Fabulous Bill, or Fabulous Bile.
He did it already.
He did it, didn't he? They're not quite Space Marines, but they're basically the same thing from what I remember.
Yeah, they're
like superhuman sort of soldiers and he used male and female test subjects of those. They've got a name. I can't remember what the specific name for them is. But there's definitely doable scientifically. It would be bile if it was anyone, right?
It's just ridiculous when you consider how awesome the Emperor is in terms of his grand designs and whatever. Like, Kaul could certainly do it. And that's a great way of doing it where you go, okay, you just go, okay, well, Kaul kind of on the download did it as well. And, you know,
and now we're adding them in, you know, and we'll do a couple of sculpts here and there and, you know, like a little captain with a hair coming out, you know, and stuff like that. And like you said, head swaps probably for the most part.
But you could do some like really cool shit in as much as like, obviously like Space Marine chapters are like a reflection of culture, right?
Yeah.
And just being a woman, like, because it's like, you know, you've got space Vikings, like, you know, space knights or whatever. And then, of course, with the sisters, you've got nuns. And it's like, their thing is they're all women. And it's like, and it goes back to a concept called the Smurfette principle. Which, like, the whole point of Smurfette was like a girl. And that was like, that's enough. Yay. Without actually going into depth of like any actual interesting character stuff there. Where it's like, yeah, okay, you have the sisters. But like, it'd be really awesome to see some really cool reflections of like an Amazon-cultured Space Marine chapter
right? Yeah.
And look like,
that would be
look
really cool. Like a jungle world or something.
Fuck it. Can you imagine how fucking sick that would be?
Like, right? Like superhuman female Catachan warriors that are just like Amazonian, you know, fucking great big spears and shit. Oh, that'd be cool.
It'd be like Clan Eshin does like Space Marine. How awesome would that be?
Yeah, it'd be really
cool.
Loads
of stuff like that. I think
what we're likely to see, being realistic here, is that at some point a female custodian model may appear, And then depending on the reaction to that, they may start to add a little bit more, and then it might start to bleed out, and then maybe we'll see it cross the Rubicon into Space Marines.
Very good.
Yeah.
The other, sorry, that was one lore reason for...
What's the other one?
The other one that I consider, that this is mega heretical, so I do apologize.
Oof, go on.
Is to say, because it's always regarded as 20 sons, that Primarch 2
and 11... Oh, you fucker, I know exactly where you're going. I just saw that coming. Yeah. They're women.
Yeah, 2 and 11, right? We're women. Is it 11? I'm pretty sure it's 11. Two.
Probably.
Were women, right? And just be like, you know, they were, you know.
That fucks over my whole plans for them to have been like on the fringe world of the Imperium. You know where all the like dead zone is to the north, Galactic North, I guess. Like, there's all those what's it called? The ghoul worlds and the ghoul planets and all that sort of stuff. I want one of the Primarchs to be coming back from there, like mega fucked up, maybe like undead.
Well, I'm pretty
somehow,
sure one like... died in the Rangdan Xenocides the first time around.
Yeah,
right?
But we can just
talk about this because this is a great topic.
Resuscitate them.
This is a
who
great
are
topic
the missing
general.
Primarchs? We'll come back to that.
Oh, juicy. Yeah, I want to do that because I have some theories too. I don't know, man. It's interesting. Loving that. Absolutely love it. I mean, I think we need to do that another time. But
yeah, definitely.
Either way, like, I just hope we're just not going to be pitchforked. But I the vast majority of Space Marines will look the same anyway. They're all helmeted.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's all fine. It's all fine.
I think, you know, there's always going to be some people that love it and some people that hate it. Because that kind of decision is going to be like a Marmite one, unfortunately. Yeah. Games Workshop is damned if they do and damned if they don't. So, you know, we've said our 2 cents on the piece. I think, you know, we've been pretty balanced, I think, to be honest with you, on the subject.
I'm interesting guns blazing, being like, you do it. And to be fair, you've been a bit more like balanced in your approach. I mean, I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm easy either way, right? You know, I think if people want it and Games Workshop hear that and they make it, so be it. If people don't want it that badly and they don't make it, no one's going to lose any sleep over it, really.
I want to just see your reaction to this. So I was talking about this with Mel last night before, because I got her scientific thing in, and she goes, do you know what you should do? And she goes, she goes, well, 10% of the population, you know, consider themselves to be either bi or homosexual. And she said, this is terrible. But which out of the Primarchs do you reckon would be gay?
Okay, Han, let's think about this for a second.
I know the answer to this already. So this is just for fun.
I mean, it's got to be the obvious one, right? Fulgrim, surely. You know,
I imagine Fulgrim's quite nondescript.
I think he's probably swings both ways. That's what I'd say.
We know that he's married like women. And so, this is such a weird like aside topic.
it is really.
You know. I think Lorgar is in dodgy territory anyway. I think that whole
just because he's a priest. keep those fucking cherubs away from him.
I would proudly say, being a lover of the First Legion, that Lionel Johnson is absolutely gay.
I
reckon he is anyway, because like, you know, he's got all of that internal thing. He's just like, how do I tell my brothers that I fancy them?
I feel like maybe Russ is like this deepest in the closet gay ever. Like, he's so projecting. Butch, he's like trying to like prove that he's not gay to himself, and then he's actually like,
there you go, see, man in the mirror.
He'd have like a huge one-on-one with the lion, and then they'd like kiss in the
mirror. Well, the interesting thing is, there is some really cool out of lore reasons for the lion to potentially be gay, in as much as he's based off a poem called, I think it's called Lionel Gonson or whatever, that wrote a poem called The Dark Angel, which is all about having those internal feelings of being gay but unable to say it and stuff like that due to the time period of the time. And also, The Rock was a gay club in Nottingham just down the road.
Well,
from,
I mean,
like,
there you go,
HQ.
That proves it.
There you go. Partying in The Rock. So I reckon so. So I've got my proud gay guys.
Maybe he wasn't sleeping for 10,000 years or whatever it's been. Maybe he was just in the basement of The Rock in Nottingham.
Having a watch at all.
Having a time of his life. No one knows what the watchers are. So
I've got the best. We need to discuss that another time.
Yeah, we will do.
So, moving on from that fucking dumpster fire of a conversation, my God, sorry, but we needed to have it, and it was an important conversation to be had.
It was a fun one.
I agree. So, mistakes in the hobby, Ed.
Yeah.
We've all made them. How do you get around mistakes in the hobby? What are your biggest mistakes in the hobby? And
wasn't it Bob Ross that said the happy little accidents, right? I think it's a good way of looking at mistakes, because I've definitely made mistakes. And I think, you know, you make micro mistakes on your painting, and you make big mistakes by buying any Space Marines at all, because now you're chained to your desk for the next 15 years and you can't stop buying them. Look at you, Russ, and pointing. Yeah, there you go. I think it depends on what sort of mistakes we're talking about here. But I think when it comes to hobby mistakes, definitely, a lot of the time I would kind of lean into the swerve, and I would if you've completely fucked it, then you can always start again, depending on whether or not you've varnished it halfway through. But you can generally take it back, or you can repaint it. Like, let's say a prime example for me is I'll paint my Necrons, and then I'll go to do the white for the glow, which will then eventually be orange, and I'll get it somewhere it shouldn't be, right? You know, those sort of things. Quick, you get another brush, always keep it on your desk, just wet it quickly, and then just lick that little bit of paint off with the brush, and then you're good. And you can even touch up the metal if you need to. And I'd say that actually that's a very good point, is if you ever do have like very contrasty colors, it's something to think about when you're making your paint scheme to begin with, is that it's an easy thing to patch up. Because what you don't want to do is have like the most complicated fucking armor in the planet to make, and then if you get something else on it, like a little bit of red, and you can't get it off quickly with a brush, then you have to redo that whole armor panel and it takes you forever. So that's kind of one of the things that I would say, is actually make sure your scheme is simple to get it back to looking okay again, right?
I think that's a broad point that I wanted to touch on, is to research a color scheme as well. Like, really, like, go on YouTube, like, see a variety of different... So, for example, if I was to do Word Bearers, which I'm threatening to do one day, like, just because I kind of want to... go online, figure out like what types of red you want to do, whether you want to do a metallic red and do contrast over it instead. Like, just really go, take a lot of time on that, and just, you know, and also how you
do test models, right?
Yeah, do test ones, do a couple, and then go, actually, I really like that one.
Look at my son's test model. Yeah, you carry on. I'll show you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, cool.
He's only two, but he's doing quite well.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's got about 100 layers on it. But yeah, so test models, carry on.
And also your basing scheme. So it's the one thing that no one thinks about until right at the end. And actually, you really need to think about it ahead of time, because you want that uniformity across your entire army. You don't want to get halfway through and go, actually, I don't really like how the basings come out. And then it's fucking stupid, because then you got half your army with one base scheme and another with another and stuff like that. Just on a more like just tips and tricks thing here, don't cheapen your primer, please.
Yeah, Colourforge primer is really good, by the way, and it's cheaper than GW. I've actually just started drinking that Kool-Aid myself.
Me too. Don't go to Halfords and get some shitty primer. I know that like that was like a hobby hack at one point or whatever, but you don't know that one day they might change their supplier and it comes out too fucking thick and it just ruins all your detail.
Also, cheap primer tends to rub off, so like just get good stuff. You know?
Also, and it reacts to temperature really badly, so sometimes you can spray it and it all goes bubbly based on how hot or cold your bloody day is, and you don't want to do that nonsense. Do color. I mean, this isn't. Imagine if you could get sponsored by Colourforge.
Sponsored by Colourforge.
Mate, Colourforge are the shit. They're UK based, so anybody from the UK, like, they do like free shipping, I think, on three.
And the color match for the GW ones as well. You're just doing them a free fucking advert.
I know.
I'm gonna reach out to them and be like, we did you an advert.
I know. I think we should. They even do the best color of all time, which is Morgast Bone as one as well, which I recently discovered. Great. After I fucking undercoated all of my Deathwing.
Amazing.
Brilliant.
That saves you a step now, right? You know, so it's about that step saving. And I'll give you a perfect example. So I have some Word Bearers, Russ, which I'm sure you'll get you a little chub on. And I painted them with a reverse trim scheme. Now, the reason I did that was because Chaos Space Marines and their trim can suck my dick. I'm not going to go through touching up little fucking shoulder pad corners and all this shit. So what I did, and this is a great example of planning your scheme, I spray them all with just the gunmetal spray, right? Any of the Colorforge or GW ones.
This is how I would do it. Yeah.
I hit it with Basilicon and Grey Contrast, the whole model.
Yeah.
Everything. Brilliant. Except for like faces maybe, because you don't need to worry about that at that point, right? So all armor, all metal, done, right? Yeah. At that point, I then take Stormhose Silver and I dry brush the whole model. So that's three steps so far. Prime, I've done my wash and I've done my dry brush. Now, all of the trim and all of the armor panels are basically done. And all you need to do is use something like, I think I use Flesh Tearers Red Contrast.
Mate,
and you just ink in the armor panels.
You've literally, jobs are good. You've literally described how I would exactly paint Word Bearers.
Yep.
Like, and also I'll get put a, cool a picture red or as
get
well.
Russ to put one on the Instagram of my Word Bearer squad. It's like a kill team, basically, at the minute.
Sick.
But like, they're great. And that sort of thing is easy as fuck to touch up. It's easy as fuck to correct. So you can, you know, go back and sort it all out because it's just metal. So you just touch it with a bit of metal. And then if you've done, you know, messed up the contrasty bit, you just put metal over it and then just recontrast it. It's not hard. So those are the sort of things for hobby mistakes I would say is actually save yourself some time down the line by planning so that when you do make the mistakes, it's easier to correct. I think that's probably a good summary of that advice.
I mean, that's very, we've just come at that from a very specific painting angle, but there are other things as well to think about too, which is stuff like, don't overwhelm yourself when you're getting into a new army or you're starting this for the first time.
We've talked
time.
About like, this before.
You've discussed this before.
Yeah.
Where it's like, don't buy fucking 2,000 points of an army straight out of the bat. Like, build it piecemeal and over time and just expand it. So you just don't want to kill yourself from painting stuff the same
also,
for
like,
a long period of time.
Look through the armies before you get... If you're new and listening to this, look through the armies. Look at them firstly from an aesthetic point of view. Which ones do you think are sexy? Yeah. And would you see yourself painting a shitload of them? Because you're going to paint a shitload of these if you're going to make an army of them, right? So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, go on YouTube, research their play styles. Someone will have done a breakdown video on how they play. And then look at that and think, does that sound like something I'd enjoy? And if it marries up the two, enjoyment, you think you'll enjoy it and you like the look of them, then go into it. And also I would say a third thing on top of that is to look at the army as a whole and see how many units it has access to. Because if you go to Space Marines, they've got like 100 units. Necrons have 50 units, and then like things like Votan and World Eaters are good, like 20 or so. So those thinner codexes are so much easier to get a whole army that you're going to have almost all, every option to be able to play on the table done. Whereas if you go for something like Space Marines, like whereas we talked about this before, you're always chasing the dragon, especially if you're a competitive player. You'll be there forever. It's like, I built all my stuff, and then they're like, now, these Marines are the hot shit. And you're like, fuck, I've got to buy 10 of them now and paint them.
Yeah,
you'll never stop till you die. So that's a good you know, bit of advice from a hobby perspective.
Thanks, mate.
A collective perspective. It's too late for you, Russ. You're fucked.
It's too far too late for me. But yeah, definitely research your play style, like what you want to do. And like, you know, I'll take Word Bearers as another example. Like, if I was to do Word Bearers, I would do like a very possessed heavy Word Bearers.
Yeah, that's what they're all about, right?
They look cool. They might not be the strongest, but they look great.
No, exactly.
So,
you know, like, depends on the angle you're coming
possessed
at
my opponent. Sorry.
Yeah, because people might not be a competitive player or want or have any interest in competitive. They might actually just want to play because they just like the models, which we've all, you know, probably how most of us started out. So, as I said, just pick something that looks cool and thematic, because sometimes, and this is interesting, I think we talked about this before already, we're getting so many cross topics now. It's like when you do your 30 possessed because you think they look fucking cool, at some point you're going to go to a competitive event. No one's going to expect 30 possessed and you're going to win because you're out there. Yeah, we have. So that is really cool. Just be true to yourself and your collection.
Absolutely. And just to finish on that, like, you know, soul thing, choose your first opponents wisely and join a gaming club.
Yeah, so there's loads of local clubs.
You get loads of support from community, and it's just a great way. If you tie all of your like original happiness on one opponent, you know, you're kind of rolling the dice. That opponent could be really sensitive to like being cool with you or just be an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, we like to think that it'd be lovely, but you just never know, right? So, you know, vet your opponents and don't be too dismayed if you tank your first game or whatever. Like, and if you join a club, then you'll get a greater sort of awareness of what the actual community is kind of like, especially in your local yeah. area. So, you know, and you can talk to like people that play the same faction as you or play the same playstyle mm. as you and learn a lot very quickly. So, and also yeah. it makes you a more sociable creature, and that's how we evolve and grow. So, you know, it's a win-win really. So
yeah,
go out and join a club.
And although one more thing.
Not a team, because you'll look so lame in your team jerseys.
Hey, stuff off. So, listen.
I know, sorry.
We look fucking cool, all right? We like to think we do anyway. But Russ is like, so what I was going to say is another hobby mistake. It's not a hobby mistake per se, but it's like a mistake that's related to the hobby. If you go to a tournament and you completely shit the bed in your game, don't like, you know, go fuck this, I'm never playing it again, you know, whatever, or lose your rag with it. This is really important, as we've talked about before, to keep a level head. And I would, if you've midway through a game, you just realized I've misdeployed, I've fucked all my secondaries, everything's gone wrong. Talk to your opponent and just say, hey, look, you know, as we're wrapping this game up, can you, you know, is there anything that you think I can yeah. improve upon? Like, what should I've done differently? Make yeah, those lessons come to you from, you know, you're learning your own, help them to teach you, and exactly get that feedback, as Russ is saying. And I think it is really important not to like take losses hard, especially when you're starting out. You know, we all yeah. make mistakes. I still fucking misdeploy and mess stuff up all the time. It's really easy
misdeploy?
To be done.
That's my middle name, mate. I'm yeah, Russ honestly. Misdeploy Dark Angels.
That's why do you think I want to play Gene Stealers? Because I get to redeploy three units. At the end of the deployment, I can go, well, that was shit.
I'm like, hello, Mr. World Eaters player. How you doing? Yeah. I'm just going to be on the front line.
I'm just
going to
just put
there.
These in front of you. A nice Gene Stealer also.
Would you like some line's sauce like... with your mains? just put yeah. some pepper on me. Come and eat me.
Yeah.
there you go. Come eat me. Yeah. But yeah, match cool. Match. There yeah. you go. See. I think
lovely.
That's good. I think that covers yeah. everything. So, blast from the past is our final lore-based yeah. topic, because we always love our lore-based topics here. We're gonna do Dreadnoughts again.
Okay.
So Dreadnoughts Part 2, because we rushed this last time.
I'm hyped. Yeah.
So hopefully we're gonna have a bit more time to discuss this. But because I wanted to clarify with you at the beginning, just before we went mm-hmm. live, we're covering any Imperial Dreadnoughts that we haven't already covered. So we've covered yep. some previous ones, including Bjorn the Fell-Handed, the Ironclad, yep. Rylanor, and also yep. the Leviathan Dreadnoughts. Oh, so they're all excused.
So sad, yeah.
Leviathans.
Mm.
So, which is the king of Dreadnoughts. Everyone
yeah.
fuck themselves. So, but we're also including anything that can realistically be essence of Dreadnought from the Xeno yeah. faction. So that essentially,
I've just got this amazing.
It doesn't have to be a sarcophagus, but like anything esque.
Yeah, like a walker piloted by somebody, right?
Yeah.
So you just reminded me of the Leviathan Dreadnought thing. Like, do you like Dreadnoughts? Do you like boats? The Derridaeo Dreadnought. It's like a ridiculous looking thing.
Was it broadside?
I mean, like, they look kind of cool, but why did they make them look like Boaty McBoatface? I don't really get it. It's just
see,
it for me.
I have to confess, I love the idea of them,
yeah.
but I don't actually like the sculpt very much. Like,
no,
I love
I'm
the
not
idea
sure
of, like, a
on the
fire
chassis.
Face red that almost like, I'm not going to say that word because I can't, that like locks his leg down and like readies it and like,
yeah,
you know, like,
it's cool,
but they look so stupid. They look
dumb as fuck. Yeah.
But yeah. hey, I don't know. Big guns.
Yeah,
big guns.
So, do you want to go first?
Yeah, go on. On the Imperial thing, I'm gonna get my Imperial ones done.
Yeah, go on. Then.
Classic man, Contemptors are the coolest.
Oh, I was hoping you'd mention them. They are classic.
They look like they give me Castellan Robot kind of vibes, in as much as they yep. do feel like a older spec dread. They just yep. look very like Danger Will Robinson y kind of vibes.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Where
they do, don't they?
Like, they're just very radiated curvy. They're quite curvy.
Yeah.
Oof. And yeah, they're just cool. They have really great weapon loadouts.
Yeah, and they were such a classic staple in Space Marines for a long time. Like in 8th and 9th edition, they were everywhere.
Oh, love them.
I know.
Love them.
Even I ran one at one point in that Space Wars list I did all right with. They were great fun.
I, you know, the Volkites. I run one in Death Guard. I run the double Volkites in Death Guard.
Yeah, they've got that cool one. The one with the tanks on its back, like tanks of gubbins and like put vomit.
Yeah,
well, there's a really cool 3D. The 3D printed one. Yeah, it's very cool. Nice.
They also
that's
have
a good
those,
choice.
Like, very quickly, they also have that cool, like, defense array thing inside them, don't they? Mm-hmm. Like the shields as well.
Yes.
And they're so hard to kill. Amazing in 30K. Still busted as fuck in 30K. Like, ridiculously awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there you go. Contemptors.
Good choice. Good choice.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to go for an absolute classic. Because I don't think there's anything more hilarious than someone shoving an angry orc into a tin can, which is what are they called again? Remind me.
Death Dreads.
Apart from having a metal as fuck name, like the models for those are just so cool. I just love this aesthetic with like these like. Is it like a forearms, I think, haven't they? And they've just got all these saw blades and shit hanging off of them,
some
and like
of them
rocket
really
launchers
cool, like,
and flamers.
Faces, don't they? They have,
yeah,
like,
and they've got like that big eye with the like targeting reticule that goes backwards and forwards, cool. Like that piece of clover in old what's her name's mouth from the Magic Roundabout, Ermintrude.
That's a deep reverence.
You know that's my ringtone. You know Magic Roundabout is my ringtone.
Zebedee is going to be like, join the Imperium, join the Imperium, boy.
Zebedee arrived.
Fucking hell, dude! I don't know where I went there. That was like a Nam like flashback. Like the doors, the end's going to be playing. Like this is the end. Let's see, like Urban Tree being like. Getting boys. That's gonna be a fever dream tonight. Christ, thanks for that.
I love the mental image of that, like these orky sort of like, and I imagine they walk really sort of like jankily and like you know really pissed to me because
like,
they're not smooth,
like,
right?
Like all orc tech, like how the fuck are those things like being held together with like tape and.
I saw something the other day that they're like, you can see one of them piloting the thing with a painted on control panel. I fucking love that.
Love that. So
yeah,
cool.
So they're great. I think orcs in general and a lot of their sort of like mechanized stuff are awesome. You know, really
well,
cool.
Weirdly, just to tie this into one of my choices as well, I've got an orky walker as mine.
Yeah.
I've got the classic killer cans.
Yes, boy.
Exactly the same.
Even better, arguably.
Why is that? Why do we all love killer? Because I have no stock in the Xenos game. Like, I'm an Imperium.
No, you don't.
Like, soul. I love a bit of power armor, right? What is it about a killer can that I go, that's fucking cool? Like, I don't know what it is.
I think it's because grots are like these cowardly little shits. But then, like, you chuck them in a fucking tin can, and the power goes to their head, and they're like, "I am God." And they're like,
"In my mental image, right? It's almost like when you get like kids that pretend to be adults when they go to the pub, when they like stack themselves in a long trench coat. That's how I imagine wretching in a killer can.
One,
it's like a big old line of them, like inside." Do you know what I mean? And they're all operating different machines. It's like, oi, Bill! And they're like punching each other. Like, and the killer can's like stumbling around.
Yeah.
Like, such a cool unit.
They're very
such
good.
Cool
and
unit.
They're a cool kit as well. That classic kit, you know, they're really cool. Now that we've like, put all the weapon options together, it's so much better as well. Because they had two.
I always think they always used to suffer from terrible Gretchen leadership as well. Like,
yeah, they did.
The fact that they are technically Gretchen
they're
inside.
They're still bad, so. But I don't think they, you know, they don't lose as much now as they used to. So that's good.
Yeah.
Because they used to just run off, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You
it's
should
like,
kill
yeah.
one and they'd be like, I'm out of here.
Fuck this.
I'm
gone.
No, that's a banging choice, mate. That is a banging choice.
Thank you. Again, weird. Like, I'm just like, yeah, killer can, man. It's the way forward.
I think I'm going to go for the, like, a Tau mech here. Because
I was
going
to go for one of those next.
Go for it. Oh no! I'll leave you to have that one. So I'll go for the Eldar. Is it? No. I'm swapping, pivoting. So we're going to go for the Eldar. I think it's the Warwalker, right? Is that the one? It's like the small version of the Knight, right?
No, are they the ones with the Wraith Lords? That's a Wraith Lord.
Sorry, Wraith Lords. So I like Wraith Lords. Not the Warwalkers are cool because they're just like a little dude piloting one, right?
Dude, isn't it?
But I think the Wraith Lords are really sick. I love the sort of whole thing behind what they are. You know, it's basically just like
the soul in the stone,
and it's powering this thing.
So again, being very quickly as a quick aside, but this is related exactly to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. As being British, I sometimes feel quite ashamed of my country, and I'm kind of like, I'm sorry to just go to like, and I'm
just like, taking it back.
God, some of the dark history that we were part of. And stuff.
Yeah.
And for the most part, with the Imperium, I know that the Imperium is monstrous, but I'm always like, it's always part of the irony of the as discussed previously.
As we've mentioned, yeah.
But I saw a Warhammer Plus short that made me actually feel really bad, where it was like a Eldar, I don't know if you've seen this, but it was like an Eldar Ranger or Farseer or whatever searching for her mum in a Soulstone that was,
and then
she put her in a Wraith Lord at the end, and there was this really like sentimental moment between her and them, and like how like these like thuggy space marines like smashing stole zones, and inside them obviously are like
the precious
like soul of an Eldari, which saves them from being eaten by Sinesh, right? So like this beautiful thing about, you know, your ancestors could be like walking beside you inside a massive sort of Eldari sort of construct.
It's very cool.
And, like, that is like an idea. Like, all right, granddad. And he's like,
and they can kind of like enact a bit of vengeance, right? You know, they can come back and they're like built like fucking brick shit houses.
There's that horrible scene in Fulgrim as well, where Fulgrim does that to a Wraith Lord, right? And like smashes the Soul Stone and takes great pleasure because the sword is screaming at him. It's like, smash the stone, smash the stone. And of course he doesn't know. And like how, and the writer, I can't remember who wrote Fulgrim, but it's amazing, obviously. I'm so sorry because it is a classic horror story book.
Yeah.
And how it really badly like describes how fucked up it is when the Soulstone is smashed, and how like
brutal.
Fulgrim's like reveling in it. He's like, yeah, it's four beneath me. And it's just so fucked.
I've just got this amazing mental image of like Trazin turning up, just being like, "Oh, soul stone, that'll look great on my
guy." Yeah, I'll have one of those. is that the Ed Wood's Family Guy? Like, piece of candy.
He's just sort of running along with like a big sack of soul stones.
And inside, all the souls are like, "Help me!
We're trapped for eternity." And he's just like, "This will look great.
Oh yeah, shiny, nice."
Yeah. No, that's very a good cool. one. I like that. So what you go for your towel one.
Okay, I'll do a 3-2-1 countdown and see if we've chosen the same suit. And if not, we'll potentially
So
3-2-1
Riptide. Riptide's a great choice. I think they're both good.
Crisis? That's such a vanilla choice.
They are vanilla, but they're just such a classic staple for towel lists that you see them everywhere, and I think they're just cool.
They are the backbone to which like the towel empire does their business, right?
Riptides are the big chunky boys with like that massive gun on their shoulder.
Storm Surge.
Things are wicked. Those are. Sorry.
They are cool, but technically a Storm Surge is piloted by several towel at the same time, right? So it's like a team of Earthcast.
Yeah, it's more like a knight, isn't it, really?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Then so is the Killer Can, technically. So again, like whatever.
Yeah.
But I like to think that like 10 Gretchen make up one human.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like smushed in there, like some orcs just like pushing the lid down.
Get in there, you.
Get in there, you little.
To be fair to you, I agree. Like when you think Tau, you think Crisis, right? Like,
yeah.
You think the classic type of Crisis. I love the Riptide best because aesthetically it looks the coolest for me because it's like that middle ground between almost being a knight and not. Like, you know, it's one person inside there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're piloting this big fucking mech. They're really fast. They're
very cool.
They've had really cool rules over the years where you, like, overcharge them.
Yeah.
So you go, and it's, like, danger. And, like, you're, like, really going for it. And, like,
pushing it to the limit.
One of my ideas for my crew army is to do a couple, because I'm going to do, like, pretty much all crew. Apart as, like, as a sort of, like, thing. Apart from like a handful of other auxiliaries, like almost treating Tau like their own auxiliaries in their own army, or
that's cool.
paint the Riptide like it's been piloted by a crew inside.
Oh, it's like a ramshackle.
So to have it and like have it all like marked and have tribal markings all over it and stuff. And
lose
it,
a few like, armor panels and hang some bits off. Yeah, that'd be
exactly.
Cool.
Have it all crucified. So yeah, I love me a Riptide. They're cool, and they've always been really scary.
The Tau have got
on the
great suits, right? You know, I know they're the whole like suit faction with all the Gundam stuff. I really like the Ghost Keel as well.
Ghost Keel's cool. They're Ghost so Keel's cool. Very you. Ghost Keel is very
sneaky.
You. To be
they
fair.
Are so annoying to kill those fucking things.
Mate,
God
awesome.
Almighty!
Awesome.
Yeah.
Load up on a vehicle like that.
Yeah,
yeah
it's
fucks.
Great.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so annoying. Also, and they're tough, and they can like blank saves and shit. So it's really annoying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. They can. Mm-hmm. Broadsides. Awesome.
Yeah.
They're
naming
iconic.
All the Tau battle suits now.
Yeah.
Tau battle suits.
And the various commander suits are fucking awesome. Yeah, Tau, basically the whole of Tau, right? Like, all of their suits are fantastic.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, the one that we haven't discussed, obviously, are any heretical suits, really. But
yeah, you know, I mean, there are some
me,
really cool ones.
Same.
No, yeah. I think what are they called? The what are the CSM dreadnoughts called? Hellbrutes. Yeah, they're really cool. They've got some good sculpts. They're like little stumpies, like the OGs.
I don't know.
I'll
be honest. I am quite disappointed by Hellbrutes. I don't think they look. I just don't. I love them.
Well,
I love a
fuck
dread.
You. Yeah.
No, suck my dick. I just don't think they look great. I think they look. They're too short.
Does it like a demon powering it count, or is that
no,
that's really just a demon engine, isn't it? You can't do that.
No, so law fucked upery about Hellbrutes, and the reason why they shoot their own troops and stuff is because obviously in Space Marine lore, being put inside the Dreadnought is like the ultimate sort of battle curse / honor. Mm. And when you're in between battles and stuff, they obviously take great care of you, like either the Adeptus Mechanicus or Tech Marines look after you. So to stop you going insane, they obviously put you in hibernation and stuff, so that you don't lose.
Yeah,
lose
whereas
shit.
They don't do that with the Hellbrutes. They just
Hellbrutes
stay
are
mad.
Just treated like shit. You're kind of abused.
They're just knocking
just like,
about somewhere in the guts of the ship, just
and
like
they,
going
and
mental,
they, yeah, exactly.
and they just go.
That's exactly
get them out.
It. That's exactly it. And they just lose their minds. They completely lose
so they're just
their
fucking
mind.
Mental and they drop down
to the point where sometimes Hellbrutes have to be put down by like other Hellbrutes.
Oh,
or, like,
I need to find out what that rule is, because we should do this as a different topic because it's amazing. But the Hellbrutes for Thousand Sons have got the best named ability, I think. We should go through best named abilities if we haven't already.
Oh, that's a great topic.
It's called Arcane Knowledge Amidst Babbling Insanity. That's a fucking great name. That's a great name for an ability.
It's like spouting shit, and then it's like equals MC squared.
it's that like GIF with all the equations coming up, you know, like from a Hangover or whatever. That's amazing.
Love it. Good stuff.
Love it.
Yeah, I just don't think I think the Hellbrute needs an update. Like right, and you know, if you ever get bit of Fabius Bill doing the primarization of Chaos Legionnaires, that we get like an updated, bigger, more.
Well, they just made them
Hellbrute.
Slightly bigger models, haven't they? Like all their recent kits have just been slightly upscaled from their old ones. Because if
you
stand them next to each other, the Marines, they're like that. It's a kind of a little bit of a height difference.
You know, which you could say that kind of represents the fact that they are the veterans of the long war.
Well,
right?
They should be swollen by the dark gods
years.
In all the right places, right? So,
exactly. But the Hellbrutes don't make any sense, because if you compare a Hellbrute to a Redemptor, right, and in the lore you could say it's just a massive fuck off demon engine. You know, it's powered by demon forges or whatever. Right?
They're more like decimators.
Throw a demon in there, it's fine. Like it solves all your problems, right? You know, I just want a big Redemptor scale like
that'd
Hellbrute,
be cool.
And I also want them to round off on like. So I know it's a very Chaos Space Marine thing, but it just when their faces all get all completely mashed and it all looks like they've got like a fucking shark's jaw on them or like massive spikes,
speakers
I mean,
for mouths. Oh come on!
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It just gets a bit OTT sometimes. Where I actually think sometimes the best Chaos looking units are a little bit more subtle.
Bit more subtle, yeah.
Like, I love the new
just a little horn, or like, you know.
Yeah, I like the new Chaos Lord kit, where he's got the cool fur cloak that's all battered mm-hmm. and stuff, and he yeah. looks fucking awesome.
It's more classic. Like, it's almost fantasy-ish, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, like a barbarian like is where you're yeah. at for me for Chaos Space Marines. And I think for me, very the cool. Hellbrute just pushes it a bit too far.
They're a bit like, yeah.
Too see, I love the word bearer's 30k contemptor sashimi.
Oh, he's like super me. Cool. He is. Looks what's so his name? Cool with all the oh, I can't remember his name. But yeah, he,
I don't
that
know
is
if he's
cool.
got a name, but just
there's a there is a named one that they used to do on Forge World.
Ah, it's yes, not, that's the demon-y one. That's like yeah, the demon he's cool. infused one. Yeah, very cool. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, let us know your favorite dreads.
Yeah,
there's
PC.
Loads still that we haven't discussed. Yeah. I imagine.
Anyways, yeah. So yeah, and like, comment, subscribe. Do give us any suggestions if you have any topics you'd like us to discuss in a future
and
episode.
If you've made it this far and you have a disagreeable opinion to like our own in regards to the female space marines thing, like, thank you. Let's all be fucking adults, please. Come on.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
Be kind to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. again, let's not spark this stupid debate. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, toy soldiers, let's put shit in perspective. Like, my God.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's all fine.
I mean, Russ has got a pink guitar, right? So I know it's your wife, but I'm going to pretend it's yours. so yeah, but no, thank you for listening. If you're still here, and we will see you in the next one.
Ciao.
Ciao.